All right, good morning. 7:42 here on the Mighty 690. And since we don't have our usual legislative update, we're still working on getting a spot filled here on this Friday of the month. So we got our backup here. We got Virgil Peck. You're just happy. You can just kind of show up whenever we get you on.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
I appreciate that, James. But yeah, it's really great to be called the B team here.
So, yeah, junior varsity. I think that'll work.
Yeah, I got it. But hey, just thought since there wasn't really anything scheduled, I would visit with you for a little bit, give some updates to the listeners on some things that are going on in Topeka.
Senator Virgil Peck, welcome.
Well, thank you. Hey, it's really great to be here, James. Yeah.
So what do we have? What's going on in Topeka right now?
Oh, there is a lot going on. And then I tell you what, next week there will be a whole lot more going on. So whoever comes in next Friday, they can just unload on you for easily 2 hours with all of the things that will have been settled out, hopefully, between now and then. I was really impressed by our freshman legislator from here in Coffeyville, Ron Bryce, this last week. He was the lead proponent on House Bill 2313, which I know Ron has put out information that's been all over the news across the state. But this is one of those, to me, that it just amazes me anyone would say no. But House Bill 2313 simply says, if there is an abortion attempt, but the child is born alive, the medical providers must provide medical care for that child. Of course, I understand that they are a human being while they're being created in their mother's womb. But once they're born, there's no one that can look at that child and say that is not a human being. So this legislation just simply requires that medical providers, abortionists, that's kind of, I don't even like to put those terms together, because a medical provider and an abortionist are two different things. In any event, a child that's born alive must receive medical care in an attempt to save the child's life. Ron's got some heartbreaking stories. Of course, Ron is a medical doctor. He worked in an emergency room and still does some, and he has seen too many of these cases where a child was born alive because the abortion attempt was unsuccessful, and then there was a child. Currently, they just pretty much leave them to die, and it breaks your heart to understand that anyone could be that cold-hearted. But this legislation passed in the House overwhelmingly, bipartisan support, veto-proof majority, comes to the Senate. I'm confident we will do the same thing, but that will be one of those things that we will determine next week.
Very good.
Senate Tax Committee has really done a lot of work this session. Of course, I'm vice chair, James, so it's easy to talk about what's going on in that committee. But we have heard not just the tax committee members, but legislators across the state. And it's not doesn't seem like it's in pockets of the state. It seems like it's across the state. The valuation increases have been significant. Now, valuation increases are not necessarily tax increases. They are an increase in the valuation of a person's home. And they have been in the range of 10 to 40%.
So we're talking like property value assessment, kind of the increases on that sort of thing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what it is. So if your home, for simple figuring, was valued at $100,000 in 2022, the valuation may be, if it's 25%, valued at $125,000, which means most likely that particular individual's property taxes are going to go up significantly. So we have been discussing that at length. We passed legislation out of the committee that would change the valuation form to include previous years. Currently, it includes one previous year. We have legislation to make it mandatory that it include two previous years. I personally would like to see it include like three previous years, but we shall see how that ultimately plays out. That is for transparency, to remind people what the valuation is so they can see. We've even talked about with the Department of Revenue, maybe some type of a graph that could be put on the valuation form, similar to what the utility companies put on your electric bill.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You can see it.
Be easy to understand.
Very much so. Very much so. So that's one thing we're working on. I guess the biggest thing on that particular topic is the committee passed out a proposed constitutional amendment, SCR 1610, SCR 1610, of course, like any constitutional amendment, must pass the Senate with two-thirds, the House with two-thirds, and then go to a vote of the people. And if the majority of the voters, which is 50% plus one, vote for it, it would amend the Kansas Constitution to limit valuation increases to 3%. 3% for the last many years is even higher than what inflation is. But we've got to do something. Is this the right answer? We don't know. We're still looking. We're still discussing. We're still trying to figure out exactly what we can do to protect property taxpayers in the state of Kansas, because most of this is assessed at the local level. Cities, counties, school boards, colleges, etc. There's like 50 different taxing jurisdictions in Montgomery County alone. Each county is going to have a lot of different taxing jurisdictions. Now, James, to be clear for the listener's benefit, that doesn't mean that every single property owner has 50 different taxing entities that can tax them, because it's based on where a person lives. For example, here in Coffeyville, Coffeyville City can assess property, but they cannot outside of Coffeyville. Where I live in the county, I don't have any city taxes that I pay.
Sure.
But I do pay taxes for cemeteries, for the Wildcat District, for the county, for colleges, and I could go on and on. But it's not uncommon to have 10 to 12 taxing jurisdictions on your property tax statement. So we shall see what the legislature ultimately comes up with. We've had a lot of conversations as the leadership on the tax committee with the Department of Revenue and other legislators trying to figure out the answer. Don't have it all determined yet, but I guess main thing I'm trying to communicate to the listeners is the legislature is aware, the legislature hears you, and the legislature is working for a solution, because we cannot continue down the road we've continued. Kansas population is in a decline, which means less of us, and government spending is going up, which means less of us to pay a higher bill. It's unsustainable. That's one reason. Switching topics a little bit here, the legislature is looking at some major education reform. The House has passed a piece of legislation that they have, some have been heavily criticized, and some have praised or have been thankful for the legislation. We're not finished with that topic yet. We'll determine what will we do for education reform, because the expense of education is also unsustainable, James. So we're going to have to figure out something. We cannot continue to pay more and more and more for each student in the state of Kansas, particularly since we're getting lower and lower results. And it's not the money that makes the difference. It's the parental involvement a lot of times.
Well, and there's been some discussion on the topic of school choice and everything there too. You know, I know that the latest that I had heard was that those bills were not veto proof, and that were trying to get off the ground, I guess, on the topic of school choice. And I think that was mostly in the House, but maybe there was some stuff in the Senate.
The House has passed legislation, and then the Senate is working on some legislation. We have had some legislation in the tax committee as it relates to tax credits for private or homeschooling. I have people that say, and again, the Senate has not taken a position. I have not taken a vote. I don't know what all is in the House passed legislation.
Sure.
Because it's in conference and it will be worked out to see if we can come to something that looks like it's passable in both chambers. Governor Kelly has said she's the education governor. Well, it appears, James, that she's only the public education governor. Public education works for a lot of people. Works great. Got some great teachers, great schools, but it's a one-size-fits-all just doesn't work in any area of life.
Well, and the other thing is, you have vast differences in these different school districts in rural areas and then metro urban areas. The quality of education is going to vary. And in a lot of my experience, it's those rural areas that do a much better job at this education than, you know, you have these large districts where, you know, they can have some real problems. So it's so varied from what I've seen across the board with these different districts in the quality of the public education.
Well, that's exactly true. And a lot of it goes back to, in your rural areas, you're going to have more parental involvement. Rural area parents, grandparents, persons that are raising children are more likely to be disciplinarians. They're more likely going to require that those children do chores, work, do some things outside. Your urban areas, particularly your larger areas, but it doesn't have to be a really large area, where the cities and towns are less disciplined, so they have a little bit more discipline problems. And lack of discipline, James, I am convinced 100%, plays a big factor in how well teachers are able to teach, because if they are distracted with a child who needs disciplinary action taken against them, they cannot be teaching the rest of the students.
Well, and two, you know, even in for instance, if I was a parent here in Coffeyville, I wouldn't have any second thoughts about sending students to the Coffeyville schools. But whereas if I was in Wichita, I might, you may like, well, oh, I know this school is pretty good, but the busing and that sort of thing, or the district requires that I send my child to this school, and I don't have any choice. You know, I just have to send them to it, even though that's a rougher school or whatnot, or, you know, so there's just so many more options at play there in those big districts. So
it's a lot different.
Yeah, it's just apples and oranges. So it's hard to have something that fits all. But anyway,
you're right. It's hard to have something that fits all suits.
Real quick, but before I forget, I wanted to ask you, Governor Kelly did veto the transgender athlete bill that went through, and I know that it was veto-proof in the Senate, but not veto-proof in the House, correct?
That is correct. We had 28 votes in the Senate, and yes, the governor, after saying that men should not participate in girls' athletics, which, of course, if you really dissect those words, her thought is a boy who says he's a girl has transitioned. Well, excuse me, but that's impossible, James. That's just not going to happen. You do not transition from one gender to the other. But in any event, she did veto it, and it was veto-proof, passed in the Senate. The House is very close. They had a couple members missing, and a lot of us are very grateful. There are several in the minority party who are rethinking, several Democrats who are thinking, you know, maybe this is not the way to go. And we did have at least one Democrat that voted for the legislation on the House side. So if we could pick up a few more, just like we did on the Born Alive bill, several Democrats voted for that. And they're being heavily criticized by members of their party. And it frustrates and bothers me that sometimes parties control what some legislators do. I don't know if anybody likes me to hear me say this or not, but nobody controls what Virgil Peck does. I do want to hear from individuals, but I'm not going to be intimidated into doing something. As a matter of fact, a lot of legislators, you try to intimidate them, it goes the other way. But so we shall see if we can override the governor's veto of the Fairness in Women's Sports Act to protect girls. And this is, James, I just can't for the life of me understand why anyone thinks we should not protect our young ladies from a boy invading their space, a bathroom, a locker room, or their athletic teams, and many other locations. So it's the world we live in has gone awry, and so sadly legislators are having to deal with issues such as this. But we shall see once all the House members get back. For example, we've got a lady that's right at time of giving birth. Well, if you schedule a vote for an override and she's in the hospital, it's really hard to vote. And they've had some sicknesses, and it's a little harder getting 125 people together all at one time versus 40 in the Senate.
Yeah.
And we've got one guy, one senator that's had some health issues recently, so he's been gone. But we shall see. There will be an attempt to override the governor's veto on that topic.
Well, in our last 2 minutes together, what would you like to hit here as we kind of wrap up?
We have, back to the topic of property taxes, we have been working in the Senate Assessment and Taxation Committee on changing the notification form on the revenue neutral rate. Currently, if local taxing jurisdictions decide they're going to bring in more tax dollars than they did the year previous, they have to notify. Well, the top of the form says something about real estate ad valorem taxes. Real estate ad valorem taxes don't really tell much. So we are going to be very specific. We're going to have to put it in statute. We're going to have to require this form to say property taxes are being looked at to increase. I'm not sure what wording, but very clearly so anyone and everyone can understand. I do want to just end briefly with something, because I've gotten a lot of contacts on House Bill 2304. 2304 simply says school districts may, school boards may decide to teach or provide a firearm safety education program, and the legislature saying that if it's grades K through 5, the Eddie Eagle program is a great program. National Rifle Association has put that together, and I suppose that's where some of the heartburn is. The fact that it's a National Rifle Association, it's not advertising for the National Rifle Association, and the National Rifle Association will not be the one teaching the course. It will be the school district, but it's pretty simple. Eddie Eagle tells children, you find a gun, do not touch. Stop. If you see it, stop where you are. Do not touch. Run away. Go tell an adult. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. But it amazes me how many people have contacted me saying, well, we should not allow the NRA in the schools. We're not. And, of course, this has not passed the Senate. I expect it to. But we, again, need to do something. If adults are not going to protect children from unsecured firearms, maybe the legislature is going to have to do some training.
All right. Well, Senator Virgil Beck, we appreciate you coming in and giving us a heads up on all that. And, hey, look forward to chatting again here real soon.
We will again. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. And we'll be back with our Ask the Expert segment coming up.